I'm speaking with Arthur Manuel. Arthur is a member of the Secwépemc Nation in what's known as British Columbia. He is a spokesperson for the Indigenous Network on Economies and Trade. He speaks to us today from Coldstream, British Columbia in the Okanagan Valley. Arthur, welcome to No One's Legal Radio.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me to this interview.
Arthur, we're speaking today on July 1st, what's known as Canada Day. And I'm wondering, I guess, to start off, if you can just share your thoughts on this day that the Canadian state presents as an opportunity to celebrate the Canadian nation. As someone who has been active your entire life in fighting for the sovereignty of First Nations, could you speak to your thoughts and your feelings on this this so-called Canada Day?
Yeah, Canada Day to me is a time when, you know, we have to reflect on the impact that Canada has had on us as Indigenous people. I feel right now that we are not recognized as Indigenous people, and that Canada, when it refused to recognize and adopt the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, clearly sort of indicated that it isn't mature enough to deal with unfinished business that they have with Indigenous people across this country. And I think Canadians should think about that also during this time, because, you know, we're, you know, over 100 years old, and they still haven't been able to maturely deal with this issue. So that's what I think about when on Canada Day. There's a lot of lot more that Canada has to do to mature as a nation state.
Arthur, one of the pieces of unfinished business, as you refer to, is within the jurisdiction that we know as British Columbia. British Columbia remains unceded Indigenous territory until very, very recently. There haven't been any recognized treaties. And one thing the British Columbia government is proposing to deal with this unfinished business is a proposed Recognition and Reconciliation Act, a way of recognizing, in their words, Aboriginal rights and traditions and title. This this seems to be a positive thing when you look at it superficially. That is, a government that has denied rights is now prepared to recognize them. Can you provide some insight into what this proposed Recognition and Reconciliation Act by the British Columbia government is all about?
Yeah, one of the things that I'd like to state right up front is that the, you know, the discussion paper that the province of British Columbia and the First Nations Leadership Council have provided publicly really does not recognize Aboriginal rights at all. You know, basically all this discussion paper elaborates on is that it will only create three engagement processes, one called the comprehensive engagement, and the other the interim engagement, and the third the default engagement process. That if an Indigenous community or nation in the, I should say Indigenous nation in British Columbia, you know, qualifies under these engagement process, then they would qualify to have agreements which would produce shared decision-making and shared benefit sharing under provincial legislation. So it doesn't really recognize Aboriginal rights and Aboriginal title. But what it does do is that it does recognize that wherever Aboriginal title exists, provincial crown title will exist, and that fee simple would be recognized. So it basically recognizes provincial proprietary interests in BC as opposed to recognizing Aboriginal title. So it's actually badly misnamed as a piece of proposed legislation. It should be basically called the Aboriginal non-recognition piece of legislation, because basically what they're trying to do is to get the similar kind of provincial, I guess, government recognition of title that they have not been recognized as having under the British Columbia Treaty process. This kind of gets complicated, you know, but definitely I would say that it doesn't recognize Aboriginal title.
Well, if this doesn't do what the title claims to do, and, you know, that's quite common with governments, the names of their legislation actually does the opposite of what they claim. So the Safe Streets Act, for example, in Ontario doesn't really create safe streets. It creates unsafe streets towards squeegee youth and other people that need to be on the street or end up on the street. Similarly, you're saying that the Statement on Recognition and Reconciliation Act is exactly the opposite. But what's the political context then? Why is the Premier of British Columbia, and why are so-called chiefs that he is working with prepared to introduce this act, something that they're considering to be very historic, something that will alter and be historic in terms of the relations between Native and non-Natives in the jurisdiction of British Columbia? What's the political context behind this?
Well, the real problem that the province has, or the Achilles heel of the British Columbia government, is that the Indigenous people, when fighting for our land rights, we had a case called the Dalgamuk case that went all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada, and the Supreme Court of Canada recognized Aboriginal title, and the way they did that is they said that none of the provincially created property rights, including fee simple, ever extinguished Aboriginal title. And that means that all of the property rights that the British Columbia government have created, like private, what they call private fee simple, that's where people own homes and stuff like in British Columbia, or private property, or mineral rights, or forestry rights, or water permits, all of these provincially created property rights really never extinguished the rights of Indigenous people in British Columbia, and that's logical. That's the only way that Aboriginal title can judicially be recognized, is that you have to say that any title that was created on top of it was never ever recognized, so and was never ever perfect. So what the province of British Columbia has been doing is handing out imperfect private property and title interest to everybody in British Columbia. So what they've been doing is trying to correct that, and one of the ways they want to do that is to have Indigenous people voluntarily agree that the province has some form of final, perfect, proprietary interest in the province. And that has not worked, because Indigenous people have not done that. And the Recognition Act is basically trying to couch that in the provision so that they can say that BC government does have title in British Columbia.
Art, can you speak about the role of these chiefs that are supposedly representing Indigenous communities in British Columbia? There's a so-called First Nations Leadership Council that is basically the negotiating side of this for the Native side. Who do these folks represent? How have they come to be in their position? What role are they playing?
Well, that's a real problem for us. You know, British Columbia basically has been divided between a 60-40 split between the chiefs who are in the First Nations Summit, which is a group that actually have been negotiating for the last 15 years under the BC Treaty Commission, and basically under the federal comprehensive land claims policy, and they have gotten absolutely nowhere over the past 15 years. They've actually borrowed over $350 million in order to negotiate Because the federal policy right now is basically a federal response, being not a provincial responsibility, but the federal policy right now is extinguishment of Aboriginal title under the modified rights model, a model that was sort of adopted by the Nishka up in northern B.C. That's one problem. And the rest of the Indian people that haven't been negotiating haven't been able to get any changes in the federal government policy at all in terms of dealing with indigenous land issues, you know. So the federal government and the provincial government have been trying to, I guess, force indigenous people into accepting this process. And some of the leadership are just basically, I think, reckless and very dangerous, you know, in terms of negotiating under the existing federal policy, yet they constantly say that they're leading people. People like Grand Chief Ed John, who's the head of the First Nations Summit, Grand Chief Dave Porter, and Grand Chief Doug Kelly, a lot of these people. And we never really ever had Grand Chiefs to begin with, but they sort of given themselves these titles. They get a lot of people supporting them, and sometimes it's got a lot to do with the money, like the money that they borrowed, like $350 million. People get to you know, pay themselves from that resource, and then they get kind of basically addicted to the funding, and it causes a lot of serious trouble. And in British Columbia, it's even sort of twisted a bit now, because Grand Chief Stuart Phillip has sort of went that way too. So he sort of drugged the Union of BC Indian Chiefs in that direction, despite the fact that the union has had a fairly long history of being very strong on land issues. So there's been a lot of, co-optation of our establishment, indigenous-based organizations, mainly through federal government and provincial government funding. They've sort of been drugged in that direction. And I think this Recognition and Reconciliation Act has actually really made people more, Indigenous people more aware of it. I know originally they were not going to have really any meetings around the province, but because I wrote a fairly lengthy memo analyzing and criticizing the Recognition and Reconciliation Act, I had a debate with the First Nations Summit and the Union of BC and Chiefs and the Assembly of First Nations and their legal counsel, Louise Mandel and Sal Machine. And because of that, they had to have more of these. But every one of these meetings, the ones in Prince George, the ones in Cranbrook, the one in Kamloops, all of them, the majority of the people there, or most of the people, I would say, more like 99% of them, who showed up have condemned the Recognition and Reconciliation Act. Some of them sort of said, why are you people even doing this? You know, some people said that, you know, wake up, smell the coffee, you know, you can't trust the province, you know. So there's been quite a broad-based criticism and condemnation of the existing discussion paper on that proposed recognition legislation.